This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Scarf Bagara Award. Me, Russ Johnson. I'm delighted to be joined by two megastars of the podcasting world. They've got their own show. It's called The Courtyard Club Call, available every Monday to patrons and then every Wednesday to everybody else. It's only Waggy and Dan Culverwell. You all right, boys?
Hello.
Evening.
Evening. How are you doing? How's life for you as a county fan, as a 5-0 county fan? How's it going?
It's five stars, isn't it? Five stars.
It's flying by this week. It's amazing. The drive home back from, obviously, county back to Lowestoft, it's sometimes when we lose or don't get the result, it's a long, long drive home. But I got back, obviously, Sunday morning, about 1:30 in the morning. Ugh, and I'm still buzzing. It was about 4:00 by the time I got into bed.
I think I was still drinking then.
Yeah. The week has been flying by.
I must point out that Dan is a county fan from Stockport, but lives in Lowestoft, and he has got a season ticket. So his lad has got a season ticket, and his lad's mate as well, I think. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So travelling up from Lowestoft for most of the matches, that has to be applauded. Absolutely does.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten an applaud thing, so otherwise I would do it for you. Well done, mate. Right. Should we crack on and tell everybody what we're talking about tonight? We're going to talk about the MK Dons 5-0 win, obviously. Hopefully that's us back on track. We'll talk about the ticketing fiasco that's happening at the moment. This is something that keeps on rearing its head, obviously, and we'll deep dive into that. We're going to talk about Forest Green away on Friday and Wimbledon on Monday at home. We have not got an opposition review this week, partly due to me being too busy to get one, and partly being because I don't think Forest Green have one. I know Wimbledon do, so apologies for that. Might try and sort something out later in the week, maybe. And of course, we've got getting rezzers, and then whatever else we can think of. I know there's some stats doing the rounds as well. We can look at those because we've been sharing those between us. So, before I do that, can I just say thank you to everybody that's joined us. Thank you to everybody that listens and downloads our podcast on a weekly basis. It really is appreciated. And cheers to every patron that subscribes to us. We have got 60 patrons now, which is absolutely fantastic. And couldn't thank you enough. So, without further ado, shall we get into MK Dons 5-0 win? What did you think of it?
Well, as you mentioned before, we are from the Courtyard Club Call. So me and Dan have talked about this extensively. So we're just going to sit back and let you talk about it.
Let's do that. I'll just do this then, shall I? Let's not do that. Well, yeah, I mean, do you know what? We did that little pre-match thing, didn't we? And I'm always a bit nervous about pre-match and over-egging it. And I think I said 2-1, a narrow 2-1. And as the game got started, I don't know what everybody else thinks, but as the game got started, I thought they were pretty good. I think the stats showed that as well. I've not actually looked at the stats because I wasn't on the Courtyard Club Call this week. But the stats look pretty good in MK Don's favour. And we've been begging for them to be clinical for weeks and weeks and weeks. Since Tranmere away, we've been begging for them to be clinical. And all of a sudden, everything we touch turned to gold.
Yeah. Yeah, as you say, we don't often get out-counted by a team, do we? But
no.
they were exactly what we're about, weren't they? The way they set out, they like to pass the ball, they created chances, they got at us and stuff like that. And as you say, it was just, they could have easily been sort of, as you say, they could have easily been 2-0 up in that first half an hour. Ben, two superb, yeah. Well, sorry, first 5 minutes, superb save. Firstly, to tip it away from their player who was coming in for the header, went out wide. The guy fizzed it back in. And then it's an absolutely super save from him. And then there was another save that he did when we were 1-0 up as well, which was class. Can't remember that was.
Yeah, that was a long ball straight down the middle, wasn't it?
Yeah. One.
Like Frank Mulhern kind of stuff, that, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they'd say we rode our luck a little bit in that first, say, 5 or 10 minutes. But then, as you say, we just grew into the game. Although, looking at the stats, we said it on the club call. The first half, it was 60% possession to them, 40% to us. And the second half was 68% to them and 32% to us. So,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It's not a lot. There's not a lot of teams where we give up that amount of possession to them.
Yeah, is that the first time since Notts County that we've been counted?
I think so.
Crawley away, but we're not at home. At home, like I say, they were better than Notts County, I thought, at home. It was a masterclass, I thought, technical masterclass by Challoner. He gave up possession in the hope that when we do get the ball and we win it back high up the pitch, we turn around quickly and we be clinical. And like you say, that's what happened. And like you say, it's for me, you know, everyone's criticising Challoner the other week for his substitutes and stuff like that. So I think, like I say, the praise has to definitely go back at him when it, the tactics are spot on like that.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, get some comments coming in. Just say hello to everybody who's on live at the moment. All the usual names are on there. And we've got people from X as well, Lucas. Ashenden, who I've seen a few times at County, said hello to, is our next joining us. Dave Wright, friend of the show, says Sky Graphics said our XG was 0.07 with 35 possession just before Paddy put in the second. Jeez. So it's interesting, isn't it? Because that chance for Camps, I guess that doesn't register as an XG, does it? Because it wasn't a ball through that developed to be XG. Keeper made a mistake and then I guess the shot is 0.01 XG or something.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, that's, I don't know how that would be included in with, like, say, how that works with the XG. But as you say, we said it on the club call as well. It was like, I mean, that rain was biblical at times, wasn't it? That first half, it was coming down horizontal. So anybody in that railway end, you know, hope you had some properly decent waterproofs. And I think even people in the pop side, because it was coming right across, wasn't it?
Even in the Cheadle end, the people in the bottom three rows of seats were coming up, even in the Cheadle end, just to get out of the rain.
Yeah.
Or upper tier or lower tier?
Oh, the lower tiers.
All right. Because there was people in lower tier one at the side, and it was coming in on them. You could see it. They were getting wet. So
it was horrible. But it didn't look. I don't know what the keeper's done with that, because he seemed really comfortable for it when the ball came to him, and then because it doesn't look as though it's like bounced out of his hands or slipped out of his hands or anything like that. But he's just sort of, I don't know, difficult to say. He's just bundled it, hasn't he? And then give it to Camps. Camps took it away from him. And looked up to see who was in the centre and then realised that it was better for him just to shoot in an empty net. So,
yeah,
it was, it was absolutely brilliant. And I think we've been saying, you know, Camps has been pretty decent the last, yeah. You know, this is the Camps that we'd all been expecting for the last 12 months, 18 months, whatever long he's been here for. So long may that continue.
Yeah.
And then he picks the high press that we had. he picks the ball up, a loose ball in the middle, and that nice little sort of just dinked pass over the defender for Paddy to run onto. As I said, we were talking about it. I didn't know what Paddy was doing. He looked like he was trying to do an Irish jig, because when you look at it, his legs were all over the shot, wasn't he? When he's trying to, like, didn't know if he was setting himself or if he was trying to get another touch or whatever, and then just, like, hit it past the keeper.
I think he was setting himself, because it was, the ball was bouncing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So he was, his legs were open. His legs were open while he was running to try and set himself. And I think he ended up side-footing it, didn't he? Giving the keeper the eyes and side-footing it in the end.
Yep.
Yeah,
it was superb. But as you say, I think Dan said it. We didn't really have a formation as such. We were just almost man for man for however they were playing, and we're just pressing them as much as and as high up the pitch as we could, and forcing them into mistakes and stuff.
Yeah, I mean that them first 10 minutes, you could see. It wasn't working as planned, because they got through that. You watched the MK Dons front line, and it was four or five at times. And what was impressive was their running off the ball. How, you know, the ball would come to a man, and you think, how's he managed to get in that position unmarked? Off the ball running was absolutely, you know, really, really good. And I'd say that first sort of 10 minutes after we started really well as well. That sort of first 2 minutes, we won the ball high up the pitch, and we snapping at them, but they were playing into the game really until that goal. We scored that goal, and it just went all to pot to them. The nerves and everything went. It was virtually man for man. And like I say, we said on the courtyard, my player of the match was definitely Evans. I thought, because at times he was playing right back at one point, he's had to sweep the back line and clear the danger. And we've all said he's not a defensive player, he's an attacking player. But for him to play that position so well, I thought he was really, really good. The same as with Toure as well. The fourth goal, which was basically the two fullbacks as such, or the two wingbacks from Toure to Evans. That's what we want to see Toure do every game, if we could just get into that position and pull the ball back to somebody running onto it. If it creates a goal, it creates a goal. But as long as he's attacking like that, instead of, you know, passing it backwards or passing it, you know, just turning himself and coming back on the ball. So, like I said, they were, it was, a different gameplay. It wasn't the play that we normally play. We weren't the front foot, high pressing. It was, we'd let them have the ball in certain areas of the pitch. And when it got to a certain point, Powell and Camps just attacked and snapped on it, and intercepted the balls, and and we turned them over really quickly. Long balls straight up to Tanto. It was a different gameplay, I think, but it worked. I mean, let's say, but nobody would have had a bet on 5-0 on County. No one.
If anybody has in the comments, or even in the from the audio, let us know. Reply what to anything that we put out. Let us know if you did have 5-0, because certainly pre-match, none of us had 5-0.
No.
I think as well, Powell, the combativeness of him in that I've not seen him being that aggressive and really getting in for tackles and stuff. And as we've said before, I've not seen that from him before. And he loves a sliding tackle, especially when it's in them conditions, doesn't he?
Yeah. Everybody loves a sliding tackle in them conditions.
Yeah, everyone loves a sliding tackle.
Well, the same here, the referee probably gets a little bit, if it's late or something like that, you're going to get a little bit more leniency off the ref, because you say, look, well, I didn't mean to, it was just the pitch with that rain coming down. Because I say, but yeah, even in the second half, there was a bit where Tanto charged down the fullback with the ball, and same again. We need that. We need that, gets the fans going. Them sort of challenges, them sort of like aggression gets the fans going, and it changes the whole atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do you think even though MK Dons came out pretty well to start with, do you feel that they would have kept that up you know, we let them have the ball. Could they have kept that up for 90 minutes and done us over? Had it been a different story? Okay, I know we won 5-0, you know, but if things had gone, say if one of those chances, early chances had gone in for them, and I know I'm being hypothetical now, but
I don't know. I think if they'd have gone 2-0 up, I think they would have changed. They would have gone a lot more defensive, especially away at Edgeley Park. They'd have gone a hell of a lot more defensive, and I think it would have been completely different. Is that we'd have been having a lot of the ball then, and then them letting us play and them sitting with a five and a four or whatever they wanted to do. But as I think we scored at the right times, didn't we?
Yeah.
Just picking up on a couple of comments there. Interesting stuff. So Martin Ellum says, Powell's speed of thought is class even when looking to win the ball back. When he won it, it was like he's read what the opposition player was going to do. And I guess that's from him being a step above everybody else. And when a team comes who are good, he's going to know before, well, I'm paraphrasing now, but he's probably going to know before everybody else what they're going to do, because he's been around that type of football before. But if a team comes and plays hoofball and it's a bit hacky, Powell's probably going to be at a loss in that respect.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless we start getting the ball to him and stuff. Yeah. He gets a bit bypassed, doesn't he? But when they've got the ball down and want to play, then he's the type of player, because of his football brain, that he is going to be start seeing them passes and stuff, isn't he? And
putting them out and stuff. And then just to bolt onto that as well, Stuart Poynton says, we've been waiting for a team to actually play football against us. We beat that every time, which we do. We tend to beat the better teams. Okay, Mansfield aside, perhaps. Worry is the rest of them will have studied the success of the anti-football, so long ball, hoof, go for a throw-in, that kind of thing, and use that for the games against us in the running. What do you think about that? Do you feel the same? Are you worried about Forest Green, I guess, on Friday?
Well, no, because I think that they need the points, don't they? So, and they're at home. So are they going to be anti-football playing at home, trying to, because they realistically, they want to have the 3 points. I don't think they'll be settling for a point because they're down there, aren't they? So you've got to expect that they're going to want to come out, I mean, and play as much football as the, if they can play football. You know what I mean? No disrespect to them. You know what I mean? They're not going to be a fast-flowing MK Dons team, but if they've got the players that can play football or the way they set themselves up, then I think they'll do that. But they might just be a little bit less expressive because they don't want to go one goal down. Because I think, again, we go one goal up, I think their heads will drop. Our chests will come out, and I think we'll get a couple, you know, two or three down there. So I don't think teams like that, I don't think, certainly away from home, I think more so coming to our place, I think they'll look more like that. And I think we did say this toward at the beginning of the season, is that teams didn't tend to do that, but that wasn't the business end of the season. They weren't looking for points. They weren't, you know, wanting to get things. But I think the likes of Forest Green, Sutton and Colchester, I think they've got to come at us because they need the points.
And Forest Green are probably the most sticky wicket out of the lot of them, because they've got, obviously, us on Friday. They've got through. They've got MK Dons to play. They've got Mansfield to play. They've got Wrexham to play. And then they've got Morecambe and Notts County at the end. So you look at the teams they've got to play and going holding out for a draw, you think, well, realistically, they've got to go for a win, you know. It's drawing one game and losing the rest is no good. You might as well go out for the, you know, try and win them all, and hopefully you get pick up the 3 points. Because, like I say, their fixture list is absolutely horrendous for a running for a team at the bottom of the division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's, I know I mentioned Forest Green there. Let's wind it back a bit into MK Dons, otherwise we'll get ahead of ourselves. Just picking up on another comment here. One for you, Dan, I think. Seen MK Don player interview for the next game said we were physical and criticised the size of our pitch.
It's weird.
It's football league standard size, so what's up with him?
Because MK didn't I've not seen any actually post-match interviews from MK that have been released on their channel. There was an interview yesterday put out by MK Dons for their Walsall preview, and obviously the manager spent a few minutes talking about the county game and how they've just sort of boxed it off really and looked at all the stats and everything. And, you know, you look at the stats and they're on top of everything, which, you know, we said they were, to be honest. They've just put it down as a bad day at the office and not looking, trying to put individual blame on people. And just the manager said they're just going to move on to it. It's not what normally happened and has happened before. So they just put it off as a one-off and forget about it. But they have noticed that, I think they've said that their away form, they've got a really bad away form, which is what they're worried about is would affect their push for an automatic place.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's no complaining about the quality of the pitch, is there? I mean...
God, no. As you say, it's you look at some of the pitches that you've been seeing in some of the highlights and stuff, and we've mentioned Bradford's before. Yeah. I think somebody in the comments has said that Mansfield's pitch isn't very good either, and that's hindering them.
Colchester have got two pitches now as well.
Yeah. It's like you're it's watching,
like watching in 3D.
So let's look at the table then. Where does that put us? It puts us second, obviously, maintained where we are. What are we 2 points behind Mansfield with a game in hand, I think?
Yep.
Got a bit of a table here. Do I dare share it? Let's see if we can do that.
Oh, we're
sharing, guys. Come on. Share my screen. Let's see if we can do this.
So I was looking at the league table of this time last year after we played 38 games. So this time last year, we were fifth after 38 games on 63 points. With Leighton Orient top on 74, Northampton on 69, and then Stevenage on 67 and Carlisle on 66. So, yeah, well, like we say, we're 8 points better off than this time last year after the same number of games played by county.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice, isn't it? That we're that far ahead. I think you shared this, didn't you, Dan? What this shows us is it's the percentage or the likelihood that a team's going to finish in that position. Which I don't think there's any science behind this. It just goes off where you are now and how many games to the end of the season, doesn't it? I think and the likelihood of it. Obviously, Mansfield could lose every match. We could win every match. So. There is that to consider, but just looking at the top of the table there, yeah, it's good, isn't it? And we've got some really winnable games coming up, haven't we? You know, I know we've and would you agree that the 5-0 against MK Dons is a statement win? I certainly said that after the match on the radio, said to the whole of Greater Manchester, it's a statement win.
What do you like to reckon? I agree with what Dave Challoner said, is if we can back this up with 3 points against Forest Green, 3 points against Wimbledon, then yes, it's a statement win. If we lose at Forest Green, then it's just a win, isn't it?
Yeah.
It should be, as you say, it should be the catalyst for us to go on that, an unbeaten run till the end of the season, which we are capable of. We're starting getting players back again. The bench is looking really strong. We said on the club call, you think 3 or 4 weeks before the end of the season, there's probably going to be players there that won't even make the squad. And you'll think, how have they not made the squad, whereas they'll be playing now type of thing. So I think, yeah, it's hopefully it is a big statement win. And that is the catalyst for us to push on.
Yeah, let's say we've got next four games. We're going to play the bottom three in the next four games. If results go our way, I think that Colchester game could be a promotion clinching game. If not, then probably the Notts County away game. So the two are, games in hand as such could be actually clinch promotion as such. And that's all I'm caring about at this moment. is the promotion bit. Once that's in the bag, then we'll start worrying about if we can beat Mansfield at the top.
Well, it is Wrexham Mansfield this week on Friday as well.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Is that a 3 o'clock kickoff?
Yeah. Yes.
It's on Sky, isn't it? Is that one on Sky?
I don't know. I don't know if any of them were on Sky. I didn't realise any of them were on Sky.
Yeah. I was going to pop something up here from Luke Ashenden again. I've said this before on the show, and I'm going to say it again and back it. Promotion is great, but how many EFL league titles have we seen? Well, not in our lifetime, and we haven't won anything since 1967. So I would personally, now because we've got a really good chance at this level to win it, we're probably not going to get the chance at League One, and dare we even say the Championship? Oh, you know what I mean? So. So I personally would like to win it. I won't be gutted if we don't. It depends on how we don't. If there's no chance for us to win it in the first place, then fair enough. But you know, promotion is the priority, obviously. But yeah
like you look at it from this point of view, and I have said I'd prefer to have the points in the bank, but we have got a game in hand, so we it's still in our hands. So we win that game in hand, we go a point above Mansfield, and then, as I said, we've just got to match their results, and I think
Mansfield are going to play MK Dons as well, aren't they? Still in their run, so it's all to play for. It literally is. You know,
they're away at Barrow in the last game of the season as well, aren't they, Mansfield?
Yeah,
so Barrow might be fighting for something.
Yeah, well, we're away at Wrexham on the last day, so. I'm not going. I couldn't get a ticket. Didn't even go for a ticket. Should we move on to the tickets? The ticketing system and the tickets. Let's have a chat about that. So I don't really know what's happened, I'll be honest with you. I've been busy at work these past couple of days. I think it was yesterday morning they all went on sale.
Monday morning was the first one. There you go. 15 plus. And then it was Tuesday with 10 plus away games.
Right. And I think, if I'm right in saying, what has happened is that on Monday morning, 15 plus, 700 tickets have been sold. Am I right?
As far as I'm aware, that's what I've seen on Twitter and stuff. And what it seems to be is that if you have one so if, like, I've got three season tickets, so I've got myself and I've got my nephew and his mate. So, if I've been to 15 away games, I can log on with my barcode, which is the main one for the account. And then I could have, even if my nephew and his mate hadn't been to 15 games, I could still buy three tickets because that's what I've got season tickets for.
Right.
So I believe that is what's happened, because I think they said before the Salford game, I think there was only between 150 and 200 people that were eligible with plus 10. Before the Salford game. So I think that's where the issue has come, or that that's where everything's come from, is that you've been able to buy more than just one ticket per person.
Yeah, if you've got season tickets that are grouped together, so if you've got, like, say, your family, that you've bought them all at the same time, they're all grouped, and you can buy, you know, the number of tickets for that group. So, and obviously, if they haven't all gone to the games, then they've managed to. So, say, for example, if you've got an adult ticket and you've bought a couple of child tickets on the cheap season tickets, then when it's come to actually buying it, you've actually been able to buy three adult tickets, even though you've only actually used your one season ticket as such. So, there's a little bit of a loophole. Obviously, they've seen it. I would be very surprised if that little loophole is there next season. You know, they'll get filled in, you know, obviously. But
didn't they say at the beginning of the season that the ticketing system again was under review, because this is not the first instance that it's... And I think the initial idea is correct, is that for the Wrexham game, last game of the season... Yeah. We've got a certain amount of allocation. Everybody's going to want to go to it. So I agree that 15 plus away games should be the first stop.
And it's not that many if you think about it, because I think all the apart from the Wrexham game, all the tickets were actually on sale at that point. So there's 22 league games, plus it included all the cup games and EFL trophy games. So, you know, you're talking probably, say, 25 games, possible away games you could actually buy tickets for. And they're only saying that the 15 of them gets you first go at buying them, which I don't think is that many, to be honest. And like you say, then they've got it down to 10 and stuff like that. And, you know, people going about loyalty schemes and stuff. I think that's the biggest loyalty scheme you could probably actually have.
Yeah, I think it is. But what I think's happened, and I don't know because I'm not obviously not inside the club, but maybe they've crunched the numbers and gone, oh, right, well, there's only 200 people that have got more than 15 away games. Let's give them first dibs, not really realizing that the system won't behave like that.
Yeah.
And the system online will just go, well, you've got three for one ticket, so you can have three.
Yeah.
Maybe that, and that's an honest mistake. You know, you don't always know the...
And it doesn't recognize that it just says free tickets. So even if them child season tickets, it'll let you then go buy adult tickets.
So right. Like you say, yeah, so it doesn't restrict you to the age of the...
Yeah. Okay, so if you've got, like you say, ended up buying really cheap children's tickets and not using them, then that's let you then go, bump, I'll have three adult tickets, even though you've actually got one ticket that you use yourself and the other two are just dormant child tickets as such.
Yeah.
But like I say, that's
going to be, the loophole will be closed in the summer, apparently.
Yeah.
So if we are still using the same ticketing system, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, there are loyalty schemes out there, out of the box loyalty schemes, isn't there? We've done it to death on this show, you know. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Bradford close season they implemented one for their 25,000 fans a week, whatever they get, sat in 15th. You know, and other clubs do it as well. So it's not beyond the wit of man, is it? To, you know, get one off the shelf.
There's a lot of clubs that do. You have to buy an away season ticket. You know, like the home games, you buy an away season ticket, and that covers your away games.
Yeah,
you know, it's as simple as that. And these very little tickets then go on general open sale for games. And that's one of the reasons why I'm a season ticket holder, because I'm, you know, I go probably more away games than I do home games. And I got no luck in getting away tickets. If you ain't got a season ticket, it's very difficult. Plus, obviously, my dad sits in the Cheadle End. So, you know, it's always nice to sit with my dad. And obviously getting a ticket next to my dad is just hard work. So the easiest way was just to buy the ticket next to my dad.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I suppose it's a balancing act, isn't it? Because if they do start introducing loyalty systems and membership systems, that's all going to cost more money. I've heard horror stories from the big clubs where, you know, they have to pay 35 quid a year just to be able to go in the draw for tickets in some cases and things like that. So, we've got to be careful what we wish for, aren't we?
Yeah, the missus is, she's obviously a Liverpool fan, so she has to pay, I think it's 35 quid to be a member. And then what you have to do is you then have to say, yes, I want to go into the draw for tickets. Not guaranteed. Well, she's been a member for 2 years and she's never even... So there's, you get, there's one for entering the raffle for a game, and then there's a second one for the raffle of the game. So you've got two loops to jump through before you get a ticket. But again, it appears that the more games that you get that you win in the raffle, the more chance that you have. Because I know a guy who goes to the games, he's not got a season ticket, but because he's been going for like 12 years, he's guaranteed a seat. Yeah. It's just different seat every time, but he's guaranteed a seat every time. And then what he's done is he has then added my missus as a friend or family. And then if he can't go, he can then transfer the ticket to her membership account.
Right.
But she still has to pay 56 quid to go and sit in the gods.
So rewarding loyalty as part of a rewarding people that keep on going on the lottery, basically. Yeah. There's other things coming through here as well. Nick Ten says 30 quid a pop for Wrexham just to enter a draw. And I know that Wrexham holds tickets back for international fans as well. Yeah. So yeah, let's be careful what we wish for.
And we've all got to realise that this situation is only going to get worse, especially at home games with the redevelopment of Edgeley Park. The capacity while that redevelopment's going on, I would expect, would be reduced some way. So there is going to be a little bit more pain. I mean, obviously, if we're in, as we'll be in next League One next season, the grounds are bigger, the more capacity. I think most of them will take 2,000-2,500 away fans. So it's not going to be, you know, too much. But definitely home games, when they start the redevelopment, I expect a reduced capacity of some sort while that's going on.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think this, I don't think it'll, away tickets will be as big a problem in League One or Championship, because they're bigger grounds, aren't they? They have a bigger away following. And we're still going to have a hardcore, you know, there's not going to be as many day trippers going on away matches, is there, as we have at home games?
No, I mean, I think away games, we've always sort of 1,000 to 1,500 is a steady number. I think we've always taken, if it's closer than, you know, two, if it's a big game as such, then, you know, we've seen, I think we took 6,000 to Rotherham, didn't we?
Not to Rotherham, no.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Bolton was 5,000. Rotherham wasn't that many. I was there. It wasn't, definitely wasn't 6,000. It was a lot, don't get me wrong, but it was, wasn't 6,000.
A few people have mentioned it in comments as well, is they've had issues with the Accrington tickets.
Yeah,
they went on sale today. People were adding 4 or 5 tickets, like clicking on the blue dots, adding them to the basket, and it was only adding one ticket to the basket. And other people were trying to ring up the club and get through and get tickets, and then they pulled the game off from the ticketing system online, and put it back on, and they pulled it off again. So they've obviously got some big technical hitch there as well with the ticketing system. So it just, I suppose it just adds fuel to the fire. But they must be, as you said, they must be reviewing it. They must be looking at what the actual ticketing system for buying tickets online and stuff like that must have a better system in place, or there must be the compensation or something from the ticketing system. Because it's a third party, isn't it? That we use it, Future Ticketing or something.
Yeah, is that what they call Future Ticketing?
Well,
but obviously with the lack of tickets, I'm hoping that County now come out and say that they're going to open up the courtyard and open up the suites. And yeah, you know, I wouldn't want to sit in the Cheadle End and watch it on that big screen, because I don't think actually it's that good to watch anything on, but I think if you could watch it in the courtyard or watch it in the suite, I think that would appease a lot of fans. And same again, you know, it's an opportunity for the club. £2 donation goes to a charity. The club will make enough money off the beer, I'm sure, and food. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully, that they see there's an opportunity there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Happy days.
People profiteering on these Wrexham tickets?
Seen people tweet it and stuff, but not actually seen it.
I've seen one guy tweet that he was selling them for £35 each, but that was a wind up, because then he went, now they've gone up to £100 for the pair. Now, oh no, we're doing them for £100 each. You have them both for £300 and that. And then I've seen other people that have been messaged off somebody saying that they can get a they can get them a ticket in the Scarf Bigara War stand and that type of stuff. And so, yeah. So I've not actually seen anybody seriously trying to profiteer from the Wrexham tickets as yet.
When you're desperate, you end up paying. If it's too good to be true, it's not true. I mean, I always remember, I think it was it Liverpool in the Champions League final? Was it Everton fans put adverts out for tickets for the final, coach travel, and the coach never turned up?
Oh, yeah, I saw a woman do a bit of, a woman was the victim of that. I saw her do that.
And was it a foul? I might be wrong, but I thought it was a load of Everton fans that advertised it and, you know, coaching ticket for the Europe Champions League final. And then just a load of Liverpool fans stood at a bus stop and nothing ever came.
That's bad, that. That's really bad. Imagine saying that. I was the same. I was left on, left at Edgeley Park when all the coaches had left for the playoff final. Because two coaches didn't turn up.
Oh. Oh, really? What did you do?
But eventually the club, they got hold of the club and stuff. And I think there was only, so they basically, they kept all the coaches and just started putting people on coaches if there was any spare seats and stuff like that. So they ended up that there was 10 of us plus two stewards left, stood at the side with the club. So what they ended up doing was basically ringing Lynx taxis and asking for two minibuses. Wow. So we got a private minibus because there was six of us. So they put six of us into a minibus and then they paid for it there and back. So it worked out brilliant in the end. But yeah, there was...
Yeah. Your own private minibus.
Yeah, private minibus out of Wembley, dropped off right outside the ground. And then once we came out, we just gave him a call and he came, was met up at the same place and we was away.
Brilliant.
So nice. Yeah, it was good in the end. But when it's getting to like, was it nine o'clock in the morning? I'm still stood outside county. I was like, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it.
I mean, like I say, I'll be sat at home watching it on TV here. But, and I've said it before, Ben Hinchliffe will be making a penalty save in that game. You know, we'll win.
That one penalty save if there's nothing riding on it, or is that?
We'll go 1-0 up. Mullins will dive in the 93rd minute to win a penalty and Ben will save it. You know, that is what's going to happen.
And we'll be crowned champions and they'll give us a guard of honour as we walk off the pitch.
I think, I'm not bothered about us crowning champions, but I think Wrexham will need a point to get automatic promotion. So we would already be promoted. Wrexham need a point from that game for automatic. They're 1-0 down. They win a penalty 93rd minute. Hinchliffe saves it. They go in the playoffs and they get stuffed as they always do in the playoffs.
Stop, Dan, stop teasing me.
I know that radar's going to be going. You get all the Wrexham fans now messaging.
Right, let's move on to the weekend. Boys, let's move on to the weekend.
Yeah.
Forest Green away on Friday. They've lost 3-1-2 of their last five. Those came against Doncaster away, lost Sutton at home, they lost, and then they beat Bradford away, although Bradford are going through a really bad spell. The one that worries me, before that, they beat Walsall 2-0 at home. Now, Walsall had a spell where they were pretty good, but I think they've gone off the boil a bit. They do pop up every now and again, though, with an unlikely victory. So they beat Barrow away in the middle of February, and they beat Tranmere at home. Around the time, I think, if my dates are right, that Tranmere stuffed us 4-0. So make of that what you will. They are bottom, and they're bottom for a reason, though.
That new manager bounce, which they've had about three times this season, sort of worn off now, hasn't it? So they did, like I say, obviously change of manager. They picked up, and they're sort of looking not too bad, but I say that's worn off now, and it is... It's when you, like I say, look at that bottom three, there's, you know, there's 33 points, and Colchester on 34, with Colchester with a lot of games in hand. So it's squeaky bum time, isn't it? It's nerves. You know, for me, I think if we get in that early goal, they will crumble. If we allow them to build confidence and allow them to get to 0-0 at half time, then it just makes it difficult.
Yeah, and I suppose if they come out at us, that plays right into our hands, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. 3-4
So yeah, Forest Green. If you're going down to Forest Green, have a good trip. Vegan food, isn't it? I think down
at Forest Green. Vegan only, isn't it? Take some sausage rolls, throw them on the pitch for the players. I tell you what, though, you would help. You'd want to find something like that out as like the owner of Greggs or something, wouldn't you? Because then you'd be like, right, let's open a Greggs mega store. Just like right, 5 minutes down the 5 minutes down the road, and you're going to make an absolute killing.
If you were the owner of Greggs, you'd be just tempted to actually sponsor the shirt, wouldn't you? If you just had money to burn and you were the owner of Greggs, it's like, okay, let's just do that for... It's the sort of thing that Paddy Power would do, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But he wants to demolish the stadium and build a new stadium built out, just made out of wood, doesn't he? Is it David Vance or Vince or something?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
And he's the one that criticised us for flying down to Eastleigh, wasn't he?
Yeah, on a plane that was flying anyway.
On a chartered flight, yeah.
Yeah, they do. I can see it now. I'm just looking at the footballgroundguide.com, which is the editor of that is our friend of the show, Chloe Digby. Don't know if you knew that. She's going to be joining us in a few weeks. So she's the editor of that show. Have a look at that, footballgroundguide.com. Yeah, they've got a nice picture, actually, of the new ground of what the artist impression is in it. Yeah, it looks like it's made of wood. Yeah. And they have been given planning permission for that 5,000-seater capacity. There you go.
It looks tremendous in the National League. The best stadium in the National League, that will be. But no, I think anyone that's going there, I think they do park and ride as well, don't they? Because it's one of them places that is just absolutely stuck in the middle of nowhere.
I think it was the last time to get tickets was today, wasn't it? Because they're not taking any tickets with them. So if you've already bought tickets and not picked them up, you can't get them because Forest Green have no facility to be able to hand those tickets over to away fans. That's what I've heard as well. So unlucky if you've bought tickets and not been able to pick them up. Because I don't think the ticket office is open tomorrow either.
No. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Just check with the club. It does say on directions and car parking, there is park and ride. But it'll say, when planning a trip here, don't try and find Forest Green on your map. Definitely non-league. That's definitely non-league vibes. on a map. Look up Nailsworth. South of Stroud in Gloucestershire. Just sounds like one of those places where it's just...
Because Forest Green doesn't exist, does it?
No.
Does it or does it not? Is that... What, does it even exist as a place?
I don't think... It's not actually a place, is it, Forest Green?
Yeah. I might do some Google mapping later.
How can you even have a team if you're not a place?
Port Vale's not a place, though, is it? That's another one.
Okay.
Yeah. Just very quickly, John says, any update on the Carlton Palmer for the pod stalking, Russ? Yes. All I'm going to say for that is we have a date, but that's all I'm going to say. Can't say any more than that because, it's
flexible.
We've been burnt before, shall we say? So, we have a date. We have a date. That's looking good. So that's Forest Green. Then we've got Wimbledon, probably obviously a tougher test against Wimbledon. They're sat in ninth. They're on 58 points. They've won two, drawn two, and lost one in their last five. Those came against, they lost at home to Newport, lost away to Gillingham. Won at home to Gillingham. Don't know why I said that. They won away at Notts County, but Notts County are in a slump, aren't they? Drew at home to Grimsby. And then famously beat MK Dons on March the 2nd at home. Was it a 95th minute winner or something?
Yeah, 95th minute.
Yeah.
I watched it on Sky. It was quite good. It was quite good. As close as you could get for a franchise derby.
Yes. And someone just pointed out Joe Lewis's return because he didn't play against us when we played him last time. Because obviously...
He's been out injured, hasn't he?
Was he? Oh, there we go.
Yeah, because I think he missed the MK Dons game, and I'm pretty sure that he's missed,
and
he's
Johnson.
Missed one, two or three.
And Johnson's so, there as well, isn't he? So Johnson, I think he's got the well. Yeah. But like
Johnson out as well, did you say?
Yeah, oh, he's not playing. He's not playing. He didn't play in that MK Dons game, Johnson.
No, I think he did, and he went off after 20 minutes, didn't he? I think so. I'm sure I've seen, but anyway, it's... yeah, I think they're both injured at the moment, but we will have to wait and see.
I can see a Lemon Hay Evans winner for that one.
Lemon High Evans? You mean Lemon High Evans?
Lemon High Evans, why?
That ridiculous MK Don stroke Arsenal fan blogger.
Oh, is that what he said?
I think he even typed it out on the bottom, Lemon High Evans, and put it as a banner across when he scored.
If you're looking for it, any of you haven't got you getting the reses, then that's pretty much nailed it on for you, hasn't it? You can just have that one.
It was so bad that it was comical. It was just... It was just brilliant. That was probably one of the worst vlogs that I've ever watched. Because he didn't see any of the goals, didn't see anything, just talked and was like, we shouldn't be getting beat by teams like Stockport. Why not? We've been in the top three since October and we beat you at your place. So what? But he's not done his blog for the last 3 or 4 weeks because he's had tickets for Arsenal.
Yeah.
But with that, obviously, the two games back to back, I mean, I still think 86 points gets us promotion as it normally would do every other season. We're 15 points away from that, 8 games left, so it's just a little bit less than 2 points a game. So that, you know, obviously a draw and a win. If we come after Easter, if a draw and a win is what we've got, I'll be happy with that. You know, rolling on to the next two games. I think that's how I'm sort of breaking it down now in my head, is two games at a time. And, you know, if we win back-to-back, that's brilliant. But, you know, a draw and a win, more than happy with.
So I'll draw your away games, win your home, ideally.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, well, like I say, 86 points. I think the only time 86 points hasn't got a team out of this division was actually the season that County got promoted in the playoff final against Rochdale.
Oh, really? That's an interesting start. Nice one.
You know, so, you know, I've always 86 points, I think, will get us there for guarantee. It might even win the league, to be honest, in fairness, you know, how tight it is. But yeah, with 8 games left to go, I think what the problem is, we forget that we've got games on hand on the other teams. We've got 8, but MK Dons have got 6 games left. Mm. You know, after this East weekend, they'll have 4 games left.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it's nothing, 4 games. That is, you know, end of the season type thing.
Yeah.
You blink and, you know, you're out of it, where we still, like I say, with 8 games left, you know, it's all in our own hands.
Yeah, it's worth noting as well. Monday is April, and the season finishes in April, so we are like at the business. I know it's blindingly obvious, but we are at the business end now, aren't we? We're right in the thick of it.
Yeah, 7 games in April, haven't we? We've got.
Yeah, and this is what we wanted, isn't it? You know, when I say it quite often, but you know, when we were playing Colwyn Bay away and Rushall Olympic, this is what we wanted. And what I can't quite get my head around, and maybe it's my age, is we drew against Crawley and Salford, and there was people saying, well, that's the playoffs for us now. It's like, come on. You go and get a good win against MK Dons, and all of a sudden it's, oh, yeah, well, we'll win the league now.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's like, I don't know. I save me rants and things for this podcast. I try not to do it on Twitter anymore. I'm going to start like outing people and that. But, yeah.
But I think Chandler was like that after the game won it. He was quite level, you know, not getting overexcited about it. It wasn't a statement win. It was a good win. You know, they stuck to the game plan, bump, roll on to the next game, and, you know, without getting carried away. Because I think he's saying, and he knows that Forest Green game isn't, you know, there might be bottom of the table, but it is not going to be an easy game. That is probably you know, and if we get away with a 1-0 win, I'll be over the moon, to be honest.
If we get if we win every game 1-0 for the rest of the season, I'll be happy. I don't care how it happens. It's the case.
Just to interject into a little conversation that's happening about American commentators and things, people getting things wrong. Some Dave Kennedy's put Stockport City American commentator commentating against us versus Granada called us that. You're right.
Hippolyte, 28 years old, out of London, England. Plays for Stockport United.
Stockport United. Yeah. We had that in the archives. Stockport United.
Still t-shirts available.
Yeah, they're still on Etsy store if you want one. Only one person's ever bought it. A friend of the show. And you know, they've got a memento for life there. No one else is gonna ever have that. sorry, what were we talking about?
Wimbledon at home, I think.
Oh, because
we went off a bit of a tangent from there, but
yeah.
I don't think there's many tickets left.
Obviously, if you win every match, you're going to be happy, aren't you? Bloody hell. Stands to reason.
Yeah, I don't think there's many tickets left for that Easter Monday game. So hopefully, same again, another sellout or near sellout capacity game. It'd be nice, a bit more atmosphere. I don't know about you guys, but I know it's been mentioned before. I just find the pre-match atmosphere a little bit flat. There's been obviously no marches. You know, when we come out of the National League, I thought it was just, every atmosphere pre-match was absolutely banging. I just don't find it that more jeopardy, more nerves this time. And
I would say it's nerves.
I think so, yeah. I think it was a lot better against MK Dons. And, you know, admittedly, we did win 5-0. But I think even before that, like the first half an hour, I thought the atmosphere was better than it has been for the last few games. Felt a bit more comfortable and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
And there's a few people that kept mentioning about Torre against MK Dons. Thought he had a good game and he didn't make a mistake. Nobody got on his back and he seemed to grow in confidence again. So hopefully he'll push on.
Yeah. Yeah. Nervous times. Right. Shall we do getting rezzers?
Rezzers. Get in the rezzers. Get in the rezzers.
I'm not having that.
Get in the rezzers.
Get in rezzers.
Get in rezzers. Right, I'll go first because I know you two are struggling. My first one is, and I'm happy to be shot down on this, by the way, because maths isn't my strongest point. But what can get in the rezzers is people calling things a six-pointer when it's not a six-pointer. So I saw at least one person, and they shall not be named, saying that our game against MK Dons was a six-pointer. Now, to me, it's not, because we were on the same points, and at no point would there be a six-point difference between us. A six-pointer to me is when a team is 3 points behind you and you play them, and if you beat them, you go 6 points in front, and that is what the six-pointer is. If they beat you, then you go level on points, and that is what a six pointer is. So people who get that wrong, who just call a game a six pointer when it's not,
because it's second versus fourth, and definitely, a six pointer is, as you say, it's a 6 point swing, isn't it? It's either equal or 6 points.
Yes.
Difference. So yeah, totally agree with that. That person can get in the rezzers or anybody else that wishes to comment like that.
Yeah. What do you reckon, Danny, having that? Or
I mean, the MK Dons game weren't a six-pointer. It was a critical game, crucial game, but it weren't, like you say, it weren't a six-pointer.
Yeah.
I think the cliche should have been, was it a must-win game or a must-not-lose game?
Absolutely,
not a six-pointer.
It's not a six-pointer. And I wasn't a football knobhead. I didn't comment back at that person and correct them. I just let it slide. It's the new me. I've turned over a new leaf.
You just put them in the rezzers.
I've just put them in the rezzers. Yeah, but I didn't yeah, but they don't know who they are, do they? I didn't probably say it. So. Yeah, that's a good point, that, Baggy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, who's going next? Who's got next Rezzers?
Have you got one, Dan?
I'm going to go for the England kit, obviously, for obvious reasons. Not just, obviously, the flag controversy, but the price of it.
Oh, 120 yeah.
quid yeah. for it. No, just for a shirt that they'll only have for 12, 18 months as well, if not. It's just so the whole England kit for me can definitely go in the Rezzers.
Yeah, 125 for I don't know how they say it, or it's 85 quid for a replica, which is just
even a replica 85 quid. It's just like I say, I always have a little bit of one of my beefs with County is the fact that we always replace free kits every season. I don't think we need to, especially when it's Vita that's sponsoring it. I always think, why can't we have the home shirt for two seasons and then you change the away shirt the other season? So you're always changing it. There's always a new shirt for sale, but you're just changing one every other season. And then you can always do something fun with the third shirt. But yeah, to charge, like you say, that sort of price, never mind that obviously the controversy of changing, messing about with the flags and stuff like that on the back of it. I just thought it's just the price. The price is, for me, is actually more
upsetting
than the whole flag bit.
I had a look online and just searched for England kits, and it came up with, I think they're called replicakits.com, and they basically do like re-releases or re-release old shirts, and you get the Kevin Keegan 1982 World Cup shirt for 31 quid.
Yeah.
Did you see
one of them instead?
Did you see the Belgium kit from last night?
Yeah, that was horrible.
The Tintin inspired shirt.
Can he get in the Rezzers?
It's a bit Marmite, I think, that one. I think someone will like it. Some not. It's very Marmite, that Belgium away shirt.
The shirt, but it was a light sky blue shirt, wasn't it, with brown shorts? When does that ever look good?
Probably harking back to the 80s when they were shit.
Tintin, wasn't it? That's what they said. It's Tintin inspired.
Yeah. I'm going to read out some of your getting the Rezzers from the people who are listening. Sorry, the comments chatting live, because there's some absolute belters that we can get into Rezzers. So it's Nike, isn't it? The England kits. The England kits that probably cost about a tenner to make are being sold for 125 quid. Definitely getting Rezzers, yeah, and that's notwithstanding all the flag malarkey that we're not going to get into on this show. Waggy, what's your getting Rezzers? Yeah, you can get in the Rezzers, Dan. Yeah, nice one.
Yeah,
Waggy, what's your getting Rezzers, mate?
Well, one was going back to the MK Dons vlogger. The MK Dons chanting of all they kept chanting at the beginning of the game was Dons are going to win the league, ole, ole, ole. Dons are going to win the league, ole, ole, ole. They've never been in a chance of winning the league.
No.
At any point. So that's that. And they had some sort of song as well. They were singing supporting MK Dons since I was young. And it's like, well, no, not unless you're like only 16 watching them. So that was a bit of a play on that. And also we put generic ex-football commentators in the Rezzers.
We did.
A few weeks ago. And more detail on that was whoever it was, what was his name that was commentating on the England game last night? The goalkeeper.
Rob Green,
yeah. So on 43 minutes, he came out with a statement that it's not good for England to lose two home games. Two results that have gone against us. It's not very good for the build up into the Euros. Losing 1-0 against Brazil and losing 2-1 against Belgium, it's just not good enough. We need to be better at our home games and our build up. And I'm like, hold on a minute. It's 43 minutes into the game. There's still a full half to go yet. So how can that be the result? So that can get the Rezzers just by saying stupid shit like that. That can definitely get in the Rezzers.
I agree. And it's not like he was a great England goalkeeper. Didn't he make a massive mistake in the World Cup against USA? I seem to remember.
Isn't he the one that seen with his broken finger? He's got a finger that sits like that.
Has he?
Yeah, but that way.
Oh, so don't do that. So I think, the opposite way.
It's that one because he's got special gloves that he's got those two together.
Right.
He gets straps them together and he's got like, what's it, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle gloves. So he's on.
There, dudes. Yeah. Yeah. No, that all that can get in the reses. We don't ever, we rarely, everything goes in the reses, doesn't it? Is what I'm trying to say. We've got some more getting reses. I've picked a few out here. So we've got Ian Dowden, our walkout music, can get in reses. I've never even heard it. I'll be honest with you.
I think the speaker system in the Cheadle End is just awful nowadays. You can sort of hear the announcements, but any music and stuff is just a dumb drum sort of sound. It doesn't really get the atmosphere. Like I say, it doesn't get no atmosphere going. It's like saying, hopefully that's something that they look at when all this redevelopment goes in about actually getting a pre-match atmosphere going. I'm not saying it has to be like the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium with like fireworks coming off the roof and all that lot, but it has to be some sort of little bit of joined up thinking about getting decent speaker systems in, and you know, because that place should be bouncing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you what I did notice actually, just as we talking about speaker systems, there's a Spotify playlist, isn't there, for Edgeley Park for the pre-match. It says, yeah, and it looks up to date as well. So, and it does say, if you want to add to this, please email this particular thing. So that's interesting. But yeah, more getting reses. Luke Ashenden joining us from X. Anyone objecting to EP stadium plans and using parking and traffic as a reason? Reses. Yes, especially Luke when they are Manchester City fans, which is the one I've seen on Facebook doing the rounds.
I've bought a house next to a football stadium that has been there long before they were born.
And became a town traitor. Yes.
Yeah.
I can get in the reses. An obvious one here, David Green, our ticketing system. Yeah, I think we can throw that in the reses.
With us discussing it, it was like it had already gone in the reses.
Yeah. And then the final one, this is the best one from our resident blogger. If you haven't read John's blogs, by the way, we do put them out.
Brilliant.
Stockport Diesel on Twitter. Day in the life, a week in the life of a county fan, age 66 and three quarters, I think. If I got that right. Brilliant blogs. Get those read. The fantastic, but he's come up with this one. I don't know if you've seen it in the comments, lads, but here we go. Rezzers, having a steward sniff my flask to make sure it was Bovril.
that's the
title of the podcast.
It's going on from that. There's one game, they're taking bottle lids off. You bottle out. Next week, they leave him on. And then, like say, on Saturday again, they're taking bottle lids off. So I just wish they'd make their mind up what they're doing.
The other one is checking season tickets, checking your ticket to make sure you go into the right seat. But they didn't just do it. I can understand. I mean, say I sit in upper tier three, so I know that's where all the singers go. And I know there is people that buy tickets in lower tier and want to go and stand up with the singing section. Totally understand that. And the club are trying to stop that. They're trying to stop people standing in the walkways and whatnot. But checking every single person that's going past for a season ticket. And then I seen them asking somebody who went to the toilet after 20 minutes, asking them for the season ticket to show them that they were, or to show them a ticket to see that they were in the right space, going in the right place again. And then I think at half time, there was a few people that were saying that they were asking for it. So, yeah, absolutely. But yes, I mean, sniffing his flask for Bovril.
That's mad. It's mad, isn't it? There are a few more. Let's see what we can pick out. The atmosphere. We need a singing section next season. I don't think that's a Rezzers thing. I just think that's a comment. People saying that they kept their bottle lid top. Good stuff. One thing to mention about the Wimbledon game, friends of the show, Apt Tap, they've been in the pop side recently. They're going to have a machine in the courtyard, I think, for the Wimbledon game. So get your app installed.
Redownloaded.
re-downloaded. Get your card details in there, register, and then you'll be able to get a quick pint, which is what I'll be doing. Apparently, it's Cruz Campo as well. This time. Oh,
nice.
So for those that are of the alcohol persuasion, I know not everybody is, but there will be a app to tap machine in the courtyard as well as the pop side. So yeah. Happy days. Courtyard club call. We're not sure what we're doing this weekend because there are two matches. I'm not here next week or the week after, so we're going to see what we're going to do about those live shows and Waggy shitting himself. So we'll see what we're doing anyway. see what we're doing. Joe will bring it to you. Wrong time to go on holiday, I suppose. But yeah,
we'll see. Because yeah, we are trying to do a Courtyard Club call on Friday evening or Saturday to cover the Forest Green game. Get that out, and then we will do one on Tuesday. Obviously after the Wimbledon game.
Yes, and so there we'll will
just
be
work out logistics if we can get one in on Saturday as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll sort something out, and there will be a Mentel podcast coming out as well over the weekend. I spoke to Andy Nevitt a couple of weeks ago now in Basque and spoke about Mentel and County and his involvement in that. So that's another podcast that's coming out for your pleasure. All these will be for patrons first, ad free, and then everybody else will get them shortly afterwards with those ads included. So, yeah, happy days. Right. Cheers, boys.
No worries. Thank you very much. Cheers. Thank you all.
No problem. And I'm going to try a different ending now. I'm going to try and play some music.
I'm not trying to mix it up the week before you go away.
Oh, I know. Sorry, mate. that's important for next week. Don't worry.
It all.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants. 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.